Last week I mentioned that we would be doing a two-week series talking about relationships, talking about marriage. And this morning we're going to try to work off of the subject of forgiveness, and that is an essential piece in any relationship. Forgiveness is such an important thing. As I thought about writing about marriage, I thought about, you know, marriage speaks to the state that many of us find ourselves in, but marriage isn't the state that all of us are in, whether you're, you know, junior high, high school, if there's any younger kids, perhaps you didn't marry. Maybe your spouse isn't a part of your life anymore. Whatever situation that you're in, I trust that as we look at God's Word this morning, that it gives us some great counsel about relationships in general. So maybe marriage isn't what God's Word needs to speak to you about this morning, but I trust that this passage speaks to you but God's desire to create an attitude of forgiveness inside of all of us. I was thinking about marriage, definitely something that I wanted to speak about this morning, and I was thinking about myself as a marriage counselor. I don't consider myself to be someone who's got great counsel on marriage. I had a friend of mine call me up about a month ago, and my friend, he's my age, he's about 35, and he told me that he started dating this girl. They're just seeing each other casually, and he told me that, and he was pretty happy about that. And he's never been married. And I know that his desire is that he would meet some girl someday, that they'd settle down, they'd have the family, they'd be married. And he was excited to tell me that. About a week or two later, he called me back up again and he said, "Hey, that girl that I told you about, we're not just seeing each other casually. We've started dating each other. Now we're like boyfriend and girlfriend." He was very happy to tell me that. And I gave him this advice. I told him, "All right, you've got a week before Valentine's Day. Don't break up with her before Valentine's Day because you want to, like, get out of getting her flowers or taking her out for dinner." I said, don't be so stupid if that was the motivation. That was my advice for him. So get a little sample of what type of advice I might give you. I hope I would also give you some good advice too. But this morning we're going to God's Word to get advice, to get counsel on relationships. And relationships, they are such a blessing from God. If you go in God's Word, you see that really, He's got two main hopes, two main callings for each one of us. First, that we would love God with all of our heart. And second, that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. So God's calling for our lives is that we would love Him and that we would love our neighbors. Here's the thing, though. Relationships, they're meant to be a blessing to us. But if we look around, I think we're pretty quick to admit that we live in a world that is just filled with just messed up, broken relationships. Look at the things that the tabloids are selling on the newsstands. Look at your newspapers. Look at the stories that you find on TV. They're all celebrating broken, dysfunctional relationships. Relationships just built upon just piles of junk. God in His Word, He has a message for each one of us. And His message is, in regards to marriage, is that marriage, just like all relationships, that it should be guarded, that it should be valued. He wants to protect our relationships. He wants to protect marriage. That's why He gives us commandments, things that we are to follow so that He can love us, so that He can protect us. And in His commandments, He wants to promote life. He wants to promote faithfulness, and He wants to promote truth inside of our relationships. Think about what people do, though, with God's commandments. They ignore God's commandments. And what happens when they ignore God's commandments? They find themselves in even deeper messes than they were in the first place. When we find ourselves in a relational mess where it's just filled with brokenness, we've got to know that God's heart is to speak to our matter of brokenness, whether it's in our homes, our families, our churches, in our neighborhoods. God wants to do an amazing work inside of our relationships. This morning we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to chapter 5, verse 2, and it's my hope that we see a picture of what God wants to do inside of our relationships. Starting at verse 30. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." In that passage, there is a list of some hurtful things that we do to one another. Here's some of those hurtful things: bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. just that quick list, I bet if we look at ourselves, we've seen some of these qualities even in ourselves. The quality that God wants to build inside of us, though, that quality is forgiveness. Forgiveness is such an essential piece in all relationships. Unfortunately, though, forgiveness isn't easy to extend. You might think, you know what, I've got a right to demand justice. I've got a right to be angry. I've got a right to be heard. I've got a right to determine who I forgive and who I don't forgive. That's not the message of God's Word, though. God's Word teaches us the message that we do forgive. And in verse 31, Paul says this. He says that these things that occur in our relationships, that the bitterness, the rage, all those different things, that those things, they wind up bringing a world of hurt and a world of pain upon ourselves that we can't manage. And he says that these things, that they shouldn't be in our relationships at all. If you do a quick just scan over the major themes in God's Word in the Bible, you would find, beginning all the way the book of Genesis, all the way through Revelation, that the Bible is filled with stories of forgiveness. Genesis starts off Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they become separated from one another, really. They separate themselves from God. They're kicked out of the garden. And the Bible continues. It's filled with stories of people who deal with all sorts of things. Envy, anger, blame, resentment, all sorts of issues. And through all those different issues, God's hope is that we would see that He has a better way, that His way is built upon forgiveness. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells this church that in Christ God, who forgave us, and he tells them that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and as a sacrifice to God. God's heart is that we would see that he wants us to be a people who resemble the forgiveness that he has extended to us. I was thinking about forgiveness and who we are. Are we a people who recognize that we need forgiveness or not? I wanted to divide the room into two sides. This side of the room represents, this wall represents all those who think that they don't need forgiveness, who think that they've never done anything wrong, that no one's ever hurt them. And this side of the room, this represents all those who recognize that they have hurt someone, that they need forgiveness, that they have a calling to forgive someone. If you had to choose which side of the room you would stand on, I think we would all agree that we belong on this side of the room. All of us, we've done things to hurt others. All of us, we've had someone hurt us. And because of that, we need to be a people who forgive. We need to be a people who extend forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. We've also probably done some very embarrassing things in life. Maybe we've even hurt someone on purpose. Recognizing that, I think we need to admit that we need to be a people who forgive and a people ask for forgiveness of others as well. God in His Word, He shows Himself as a God who forgives us unconditionally, who doesn't have any condition, any terms. He forgives over and over and over again. And His heart is that we would be like Him, and that we too, that we would extend that forgiveness to others. One day Jesus and Peter, they're talking. And in the course of the conversation, Peter, he wants to let Jesus know that he's got this great example of, or this great standard of how many times that he should forgive. And he tells Jesus that he thinks that 7 is the right amount of times that one should forgive another person who has offended them. When Peter says this, the Jewish folks, they had a standard that they came to understand. They thought that 3 times was the most that you needed to extend forgiveness to someone who had hurt you. And they thought if the fourth time, you didn't need to extend forgiveness to them. Well, Peter, he says 7 times is the right amount of times to forgive, because he thinks 7 is by far greater than, 3. It's by far greater than 4. Jesus, though, he speaks to Peter and he lets him know that is not the heart of God. The heart of God is not to set a limit on how many times that God will forgive. That God's heart is that people would be a people who forgive over and over again and wouldn't keep track, wouldn't keep a record of how many times that they had forgiven. And then as Peter and Jesus, they talk a little bit more, Jesus tells a story about a king who had a servant who owed some money. And in the story, the servant owes this king a great sum of money. It wasn't a sum of money like he just asked the king one day, "King, could I have 20 bucks to get me through the week?" It wasn't just a small amount of money that the servant owed the king. He owes the king a great sum of money. And he comes before the king. And when he comes before the king, The king has the option. If he wants, he could put this man in jail. The king, though, he acts graciously and merciful, and he shows kindness and he shows forgiveness of debt to this man. Rather than to put the man, this guy who owes him money, in jail, he chooses to set him free, and he tells him that this debt that he'd never be able to pay back, that this debt has been erased, that it's been eliminated. Then the servant, he goes about his business. It turns out he goes and he's got a servant who owes him money. He goes to that servant and he tells the servant, give me what you owe me. That servant, he's unable to pay back his debt. Then the king finds out about it. And what does the king do? Is he finds out that the servant that he's treated so graciously, so mercifully, won't do the same thing. He then puts that man, that first servant, back into jail. Because he wants to teach him a lesson that the king was merciful and forgiving, and that he should as well. That's God's heart for us, that we would be a people who recognize the mercy that God has given to us, and we would extend that forgiveness and that grace to others. That story ends with a lesson. Matthew 18, verse 35, Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Peter, he wanted to know how many times he should forgive. And Jesus sets the record that the heart of God is to forgive over and over again. We might understand in our heads, intellectually, that God wants us to be a people who forgive. We might understand the concept. When it becomes time, though, to live that concept out, that's when it becomes hard. We start to say things like, "You don't understand what that person's done to me. You don't understand how my husband, how my wife treats me. You don't understand what my boss just said to me." We say things like that to try to rationalize why we should choose to not forgive. And you know what? If we've ever been in a situation where we've felt like we've been able to say and to justify, "You don't understand how I feel." There's some truth to that. You and I, we will never understand how each other feels, how each other has been hurt. Here's the thing, though. We can't stop at the place of understanding, at that place of understanding. We've got to understand that Jesus does understand. Jesus, he's been betrayed by one of his closest friends. As an innocent man, he hung on the cross for you and I. Jesus Christ does understand what it means to be hurt, what it means to be just accused, what it means to experience some painful things. So when you and I think that we can't, that we have a right to say, "You don't understand," yeah, we don't have a right to understand, to say that. Or you and I, we have a, how do I say this? You and I, we can say, "Yeah, you don't understand," but God does. That's what we hope we understand. Forgiveness isn't easy. Think about the opportunities that you have to forgive. You never have to forgive someone because they smiled at you. You never have to forgive someone because they held the door open for you so you could get into the house or whatever and not drop what you were carrying. You never have to forgive someone because they were nice to you. One of the times that you have to forgive, you have to forgive when someone has just ripped apart your heart, when they've done just something so awful to you. Those are the times that we're called to forgive. And God, he calls us to forgive based on what he's done for us. Not based upon what we think in our heads is the right thing to do. Not based upon what we think in our hearts is the right thing to do. God calls us to forgive because he tells us to forgive. Not because we think it's right, not because we feel that it's right. And if we rely on our brains to be the thing that leads us, if we rely on our heart to be the thing that leads us, we'll probably never be that person of forgiveness. But if we follow after God and what he's called us to do, our brain, our heart, it's going to catch up in the end. Being hurt, that is a very emotional thing to go through. And being hurt, it doesn't just heal by itself. The pain, the hurt, that heals over time by God's grace. Something that we might have to do as a first step might actually be just on our own, in the quiet of our own room, just saying out loud, "I forgive you. I forgive what you've done against me." That might be the first step that we need to do. When we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness doesn't mean that we failed to deal with the issue. Some think that if you forgive, that you failed to deal with the issue. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him your fault. If he listens, you've won your brother over. Here's the thing. If we do nothing when there's an opportunity to forgive in front of us, that's when we fail to deal with the issue. When we forgive, that's actually when we do deal with the issue. And forgiveness, it doesn't mean that we just sweep things under the rug, that we just try to just forget that something's happened. Forgiveness is the process that over time allows feelings to change and for trust to be rebuilt. Trust might not actually be regained immediately. It might take a lot of time. But forgiveness, that is the starting point in the journey in which trust can be rebuilt. And for many people, forgiveness of some sort of hurt, that involves several layers. If it's a fresh wound, it could be, you know, 5 or 6 times a week you need to like, you know, let go of your feelings. If it's an older wound, maybe it's like once or twice a month. And if it's older than that, maybe it's once or twice a year. God wants to work in that time to free us from all the stuff that's connected with being a person who's not forgiving. He wants us to be a people who does forgive. Sadly, though, many people in this day and age, they're not good at asking for forgiveness. They're not good at extending forgiveness to others. Asking for forgiveness, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. Forgiveness, it involves a couple of ingredients, and I want to name some of the ingredients that are involved with forgiveness. First, we admit that we're wrong. We acknowledge our guilt. Second, we confess sorrow. We say, I'm sorry for the way that I hurt you. I'm sorry for the way that I made you feel. Third ingredient, we turn, we repent. We want that change to happen in our lives so that that event does not happen again. And fourth, we seek forgiveness. We ask the person, will you forgive me for what I've done from you? I don't know how this is going to work. I wrote this down. I'm going to try this. If you came with someone, I want you to turn towards them. And if you didn't come with someone this morning, just say this out loud. Say the words, I forgive you. Say the words, I was wrong. Those are tough words to get out sometimes. Still saying them. As believers in Jesus Christ, God calls us to be an imitator of God. You're still saying them? God calls us to be an imitator of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says that we are to be imitators of God. And we become that imitator of God when we reflect His love and grace to others by forgiving them. Scripture also says, just as Christ God forgave you. That's what we're called to do. We're called to forgive. It's been said that we are most like God when we forgive. And when we say those words that I forgive you, when we say that, we're extending a promise to another person. Here's some of the things that we're promising to them. We're promising to them that we will never speak of this event again. We're promising them that we won't use this thing that's happened. We won't use it as a wedge that divides our relationship. We're promising them that we won't bring up this incident. We won't use it against them. And we won't talk about it to anyone else as well. Think about forgiveness. Forgiveness is incredibly hard. It is exactly, though, what God calls us to be about. And if we do forgive as we're instructed to forgive, there's some great benefits. I want to name some of the benefits that come to us if we choose to be a person who forgives. When we forgive, we release the person of the burden that we've been when we forgive, we can release ourselves of the burden that we carry. The good news about forgiveness is that it keeps bitterness, it keeps resentment from piling up inside of us. When we're consumed by our hurts, when we're consumed by resentment, when we hold on to anger, you know what? We're controlled by that other person. If you've ever had that person in your life who's just gotten you so mad, what happens when you think about that person? You're like blood pressure, your emotions, they all just build up inside of you and you just... it just eats away at you. One of the dumbest things about living that sort of way is that when we allow that person to still have that control inside of us. They might not even know that they even have that control inside of us. They might not even know that they've done something to wrong us. So if we refuse to forgive, really we suffer twice. We suffer from that initial time when someone hurt us, and we suffer the second time from all that bitterness, residue stuff that just builds up inside of us. Think about some of the ways that we might respond if we choose to not forgive someone. We might choose to say someone in your family hurt you. We might choose to skip a family reunion. Say someone in your church hurt you. What do? We might choose to not go to Bible study. We might choose to just go to church kind of sparingly. We might choose to not get involved. Think about the different reactions that we have when we choose to not forgive. We separate ourselves from that other person. Who wins? Who wins when that happens? Definitely not us. Definitely not that other person. Definitely not God. Honestly, Satan is the one who wins when we choose to not forgive. When we do experience the forgiveness, though, we can have restored relationships. I read a story about a father and son in Spain. The son's name was Paco. I don't know the father's name off the top of my head, but the father and the son, they had some sort of fallout in their relationship. And the father, he went to great lengths to try to see his relationship with the son restored. And after trying everything he thought he could try, he went and he put his last effort out to see if he could get his relationship restored. And he bought space on a billboard, and on the billboard he wrote a message to his son, and the message was like, "Paco, I miss you, I love you, all is forgiven, let's move past what's happened, and if you would like this too, meet me at such and such place at such and such time on such and such day." So the father went to that place on that appointed time, and surely there was Paco. And the two, they embraced, they moved past the past, and they went on in the future, and they had this healthy relationship that was supposed to have happened in the first place. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be at work in our relationships so that we can move forward in relationships the way that He's intended for us to move forward. And if we refuse to forgive, here's the thing. That relationship that God wants to build inside of us with another person, it will never be the way that He has intended for it to be. Forgiveness, that is a powerful thing that can go a long way to restoring our relationships, our marriages, and our families even today. Scripture teaches us that since God has forgiven us, that we should be careful to allow any root of bitterness, any root of resentment to grow inside of us. So that means that in our homes, our marriages, our families, in our churches, we need to guard those things so that we're not held captive by those things. So this morning, the encouragement, the challenge that I want to set before you is this. I want to ask you, is there anyone in your life who you know there's some matter of forgiveness that needs to be worked towards? I want to encourage you this morning to go to them, to talk to them. Maybe you're the one that needs to apologize. Maybe you're the one that needs to say, "I forgive you." I want to encourage you this morning to go to them, though, and to set things right by the power of God and His Word. Jesus taught people that we should forgive people over and over again, just as God forgives us. Before, when I was talking about Peter and Jesus in this conversation, Peter, he says that he's got this standard of what he thinks is the right thing to do and how many times that he should forgive. Peter suggests a number of 7, by far greater than what his peers in the day would have thrown out as a number. Jesus, though, He's got an even better number. I'm kind of impressed by the fact that Jesus has got a better number, because so many times we think that we know what's right. We think that we have the right understanding of what a good standard of forgiveness is. Jesus, though, has a greater understanding of what forgiveness is, and He wants us to live in that, not to live in our expectations, our understanding of forgiveness. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, if there's anyone in this church that you need to set things right with, I want to encourage you, go to that person. If there's anyone in your families, in your marriages, I want to encourage you, go to that person. God's Word reminds us that He has forgiven us and that we should forgive others as well.